say about that. The rabbinic doctrine, this rabbinic doctrine developed after the destruction of the temple to replace the priestly idea of kaporah. Let's say kaporah. That's the word for atonement. For us as followers of Yeshua, it does not replace atonement, but it accompanies it, and it is based upon it, ultimately upon Yeshua's sacrifice. That is so important. His sacrifice, his offering, his once-for-all offering, as the book of Hebrews goes into so many in such beautiful ways and elaborates on, one offering for all time, not the yearly offering of on Yom Kippur, which actually the high priest went into back and forth into the Holy of Holies, the Kodesh Kodashim, for I think seven times. I'll have to relook that, but three times or three major times if, at least. But he had to go through that process, as we know, it tells every year. But it was a once for offering for all time. Good for all time. Yeshua's offering of himself as the Lamb of God, God's suffering servant, forecast by the prophets of Israel in passages such as Isaiah 52 and 53, Daniel 9:24, Psalm 22. Amazing passages, even, you know, Psalm 22, as they pierced my hands and my feet. That's crying out Psalms begins with, my God, why have you forsaken me? Yeshua quoted that Psalm when he was on the cross, on the tree, atoning for our sins. Masoretic texts, you know, sometimes change and say, like a lion, he's at my hands and my feet. The Hebrew could read either way, but it doesn't make sense if it translated as like a lion in the context at all. It makes more sense as being thrust through with his hands and feet. So, but these prophecies of the prophets of Israel for this Messiah who would be a suffering servant, who is believed our report, to whom is the Zeruah Adonai, the arm of the Lord. Zeruah is the also of the lamb, you know, of the shank bone of the lamb that was on Pesach, you know, it's the strong part of the arm, you know, but it's also the romantic part, also embraces. He says, to whom has he been revealed? He'll grow up as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground, as no form nor comeliness that we should desire him. And it talks about he'll suffer for our sins, you know, he'll be thrust through and suffering. So all the Isaiah 53 describes, Daniel talks about he'll make atonement. Actually, I've marked it, I'll just read it quick. 70 weeks are determined on concerning your people and your holy city to put an end to transgression, to bring sin to an end, to atone for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness. These prophecies before the temple was destroyed, before the Messiah came, prophesies of the Messiah, and he atoned for the sins of the world. 1 John 2:2 in the New Covenant, Brit Chadashah, he says, he is this atonement, not just sacrifice, not just for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. That was his plan, that God send the Messiah for all people. That is the foundation of our faith and our relationship with God. We have a relationship under the new covenant, prophesied Jeremiah 31:31-34, the days are coming, I'll make a new covenant with the house of David and the house of Judah, not like the covenant I made with your fathers. This is a new covenant, I'll put my law in your hearts, you shall all know me from the least to the greatest, because I'll forgive your iniquity, your sins I'll remember no more. That the basis of that covenant, that we can know God, have a relationship with the living God and really know him, is on Yeshua's sacrifice. That's the only way that it happens. He is the way. One sacrifice, only way. And so we cry. He is our atonement. This is the through placing our trust in Yeshua's substitutionary death, we receive eternal what? Eternal life. Yeah, not life, not just another year of good, not hoping God will bless our year, but eternal life, everlasting life, chaye olam, forever. And we experience a new birth, and we know God now. That's why it says we cry, Abba, Father, right? Romans 8:15 and Galatians 4:6 says the Spirit, the Ruach, now comes in us, and he cries out in us, Abba, Father. I remember when I was new believer, you know, experiencing that now I knew God. Wow, I wanted to talk to God. I wanted to actually pray. I mean, I hadn't prayed before like that. I mean, and I remember when I went through a horrific period of doubts, you know, in my first year of believing. I mean, where you know, I had a one philosophy teacher. No, is he a philosophy teacher? Who was a Jewish man who was actually on the jury of the Nuremberg trials in Auschwitz. He was a brilliant man and Jewish man, and he was doing everything he could to undermine my faith, you know, to get me to give up the Jesus nonsense. And I remember having really horrific doubts one day, and just at one point sitting down, because I would really come to a place I think, yeah, maybe it's not true. Maybe Jesus isn't the Messiah, and I embraced all this stuff, and it's, you know, not really real, whatever I experienced. And then I'd find that after that, I'd start to even doubt God's existence. Usually would follow after a period when I'd given to that. Then I'd start, maybe God, you're not there either. You know, there's no real God. But then I realized, wow, I have to talk to God. I'm talking to God about this. I'm saying, God, maybe you don't exist. And something hit me. I know it's really simplistic, but it was the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God, Romans 8:16. I was realizing that the Spirit was crying out in me, Abba, Father. I realized, wow, you're real. And something happened, clicked in me, and all of a sudden, those horrific doubts left. And I had peace. I really knew, wow, God, you're there. And no matter what all these things, you know, that attack my mind and the different arguments I read against it, I still know that you're real. And only God can, you know, do it with each one of us. Or in your, you know, He knows how to speak to each one of us to show His reality. But we become inhabited by His Spirit. Our names are recorded in heaven. We have a new family. Our sins are forgiven and remembered no more. Bible says, John 5:24, you pass from death to what? Life. He that believes my word shall not come into judgment, but is already passed from death to life. Let's say it, from death to life. Okay, that is amazing. That is amazing. And yes, we have a new family. So I'm not going to read the verses in Hebrews, but there's so many verses in Hebrews. Maybe probably next week we'll go into some of that set. So our repentance, our prayer, and good deeds are the byproduct, the consequence of our being forgiven and sealed in God's book of life, of knowing God through the Messiah's once for all time sacrifice. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace you're saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God. It's not based on deeds, so that no one may boast, for we are His workmanship. Let's say workmanship. We're His workmanship, created in Messiah Yeshua for good deeds, which God prepared beforehand so we might walk in them. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Can't say it more clearly than that. Philippians 2, 12 says this, therefore, my loved ones, just as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now even more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for the one working in you is God, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. We work out what God has worked in. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so you might be blameless and innocent children of God in the midst of crooked and twisted generation. You shine as lights in the world, holding fast, or really holding forth, the word of life. As Paul says. So, beautiful passage. Now, the Lord is our rock. He's our tsur. He's our father. Let's say Av. Av. He's Elyon. Let's say Elyon, most high. Okay, we'll go back to tsur. Let's say tsur. All right? Tsur, He's the rock. Seven times, actually, in this passage. Really, it means a mountain. Mountain. Pretty sure of that. He's called the rock of Israel, 2 Samuel 23:3. As our father, Avicha, here, your father, Avinu, our father, Isaiah 63:16, Isaiah 64:7, are two verses actually in Isaiah where God says, He is our father, you are our father. And of course, Yeshua prayed, said, Avinu Sheba Shemaim, our father in heaven, in Luke 11, it's one mention of it. Our Father in heaven, or heavens, really. Heaven is always in the plural, Hashemayim. And so he's our Father. The Most High is Elyon. Now, the association of God with a rock was born in the landscapes of the desert where the Jewish people wandered for 40 years. This epithet filtered into Jewish liturgy of later generations from those verses in the Psalms of David, which contained this his tribute to the days when he was sheltered by the rocks in the desert. So I've got some pictures around from our trips to Israel. I hope you're planning to go on the next one this year. That's my favorite place, En Gedi. I was going to put a picture of me in the water. I said, no, I'm not going to, because I'm not in good enough shape. But I get in those waterfalls every time. You're not going to keep me out of those waterfalls. But that's where David hid from King David from Saul, and it's just my favorite spot in Israel. But you got to get up there. You got to climb up to the summit, see the more waterfalls. And but this is we go at the end of May, beginning of June, by the way, we'll be going. So I hope we can go. So he was sheltered by the rocks in the desert, especially in places like En Gedi, which shielded him from Saul, 1 Samuel 24, verses 1 and 2. The word sur, to confine, or tsur rather, is confine, press from all sides. These rocks were really cliffs, boulders, and really mountains, craggy rocks with crevices. They provided protection, shelter, camouflage, security, shade, even water holes. And by the way, the word, when the water came from the rock, Exodus 17, this is the same word, sewer, water from the rock. So they made David hard to reach and inaccessible. They made him invisible. The rocks surround and protect, hide, and shield. So this is, gives us an idea of what it means for the Lord to be your rock, my rock, right? He makes us invisible, inaccessible, safety, shelter, security. The rock, he's reliable, unshakable. Now you have a divinely ordained mission to fulfill, Colossians 4:17. You are called according to an eternal purpose, Ephesians 3:11. You also have an adversary whose aim it is to thwart God's purpose and calling for you through things like, listen, illness, discouragement, depression, sin's ensnarement and enslavement, different kinds of sins, unresolved guilt, withheld forgiveness, not forgiving someone, earthly cares, entanglements, and distractions, Matthew 13, 22, and mentioned a lot of references for these. Paul says you might attend upon the Lord without distraction, 1 Corinthians 7:35 says, the devil's the hinderer, and lay aside all these weights, the things that sin so sins and the sins that so easily beset us. Hebrews 12:1. The enemy wants to bog you down and so render you ineffective. Now the rock, Hatsur, is not only a defense, but it's offense also. The rock is used in battle. It's talked about in battle. And Psalm 18 and Psalm 144, the Lord is our rock. We have a rock, and this rock that we have is Avinu. He is our Father, and this rock is Elyon. He is the Most High. He birthed us. He bought us. He made us and established us, and he cares for us, and he guides us. Deuteronomy 32, all 4 through 12. I was thinking, it was a cool thing. It just occurred to me last night, at late night or this morning, or one of the time I wrote it in my car, I was driving. I said, wait a minute, let me turn the word sewer around, all right? And that's not on a slide, but so if you reverse the word sewer, who knows what you have? Roots. Forget the ha, that's a definite article. For the sewer, roots. What's roots? Anyone know? Run. Reverse the word, so we run to the rock. It's one way of looking at it, right? We run to the rock. I like that. So praise the Lord. 1 Samuel 2:2, there is no rock like our God. He's our protection and he's our provision. Colossians 3:3, we are hidden with Messiah in God. In the shelter of the Most High, Psalm 91:1, he who dwells in the shelter of Elyon, there's Elyon, will abide in the shadow of Shaddai. I'll say of Adonai, he is my refuge and my fortress. In other words, we're invisible to the adversary. We're inaccessible. A dove would hide in the clefts of the rock, the Selah, the rock. Elevated rocks and cliffs in Song of Songs, Shir HaShirim 2:14. The dove can't defend itself. It can only hide. We are to look to the rock from which you were hewn, he says, Isaiah 51. Look to the rock from which you're hewn and to the quarry from which you were dug. When God, as the rock, gave birth to Israel, in Deuteronomy 32:18, Isaiah 51:2, the Hebrew vividly presents him as going through childbirth, writhing in labor pains. Is there any other rock, God asks? I know of none. Don't you like that? Isaiah 44, verse 8. Is there any other rock? I know of none. I'm it. Why are you looking to something else other than me for your answer, for your solution? Why? I'm your rock. Will you let me be your rock? We don't need to fear the future events if he is our rock. And so Yeshua said in Matthew 7:24, we read it in the readings, he said, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man, a chacham. Wise man, we'd say in Hebrew, is a chacham, who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it did not fall, for its foundation had been built on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell, and great was its fall. Great was its fall. Yeshua is the only foundation. 1 Corinthians 3:11, no other foundation. He is the foundation. He is the only rock. It's Isaiah 28:16 also. Yeshua said, and I also tell you that you are Peter, and upon this rock, speaking of himself, I believe, there, that's different ways of interpreting, upon this rock, I will build my community, and the gates of Sheol will not overpower it. Matthew 16:18. Peter, his name means rock. Most famous city in the mountains of Edom is Petra, city carved out of the rock. Yeshua is saying, upon this rock, you're Peter, you're a rock, but upon this rock of who I am, and your recognition, your confession by revelation of this reality, back in verse 16, he says, I will build my ecclesia, my called out, my kahila, my called out community. Peter had a revelation of who Yeshua was, and he said, you're the Messiah, Ben Elohim Chaim. You're the Mashiach, Ben Elohim Chaim, Son of the Living God. And Yeshua said, that's the reality. It's who I am. That's the rock. Will you let him be your rock today? Will we run to the rock? Will we trust in him? Let him hide us? And be our source. Amen. Father, we just thank you. You are Hatsur. You are Hatsur.